Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dark Seduction by Avalyn Page and Jerry Glenn. Narrated by Alexander Sendes and Stephanie Rose. Chapter 1. V. "Buy a garage," Judge said. "It'll be a great addition to our club's legit business plans. On paper, yes. In working theory, hell no. Being one of the few guys with mechanic experience in the club, I could have told Judge and the others that buying a garage and running it right is two different fucking animals. I had a couple of years' experience running a garage before coming to Austin with Mom when my own Black Hoods chapter and personal life had gone up shit creek. A change of venue had been much needed, but stumbling back into the garage, business had not been part of the plan. Yet, here I am, managing the day-to-day operations under Judge's watchful, though semi-absent eye. It hasn't been easy getting this palace up and running. We'd had enough shit with the Ladrones and their theft ring putting us behind on opening day, but the shit just keeps on piling up. Today is no exception. After the parts order showed up 2 hours later and a tune-up went wrong, I have yet to take a break or eat lunch. Eating had been the last thing on my mind until my stomach revolts. I no sooner put my ass into the chair, ham sandwich in hand, before the phone rings. I consider ignoring and eating, but Judge would have my ass if he knew. "Hood's Customs," I answer as my stomach rumbles yet again, the mayo dripping off the corner onto the desk before I can stop it. Grumbling to myself, I tuck the phone against my shoulder while I clean up the mess with a wipe all. "Hey, V, it's Benny Snyder." Benny, one of our best customers, had just picked up his 1959 Cadillac Cyclone, his newest addition to his show cars. I found the thing in an upstate New York barn. The original owner had passed away and his kids didn't know about the classic cars he left behind. It had been in rough shape, but we'd spent 4 months working on it for Benny. By the time it left our shop last week, the Cyclone looked like it had just rolled off the assembly line and purred like a fucking kitten. "How's it going, man? How's the new ride treating you?" "That's why I'm calling." His tone is flat. I curse under my breath. Benny is an outgoing guy who usually stays hours after his pickup time to crack jokes or talk shop. This Benny is all business. Shit. I toss my uneaten sandwich onto the plate in front of me. My hand draws up to my face, scrubbing it. "Well, that doesn't sound great. What's going on?" "Took her out to the show in Dallas last weekend to debut her. By the time I got her there and unloaded, the paint job was bubbling and peeling." I sigh. Benny has climate-controlled trailers. If she'd been baking in the sun, I'd be tempted to write it off as a fluke. But with his setup, she should have arrived in pristine show condition like she'd left the shop. "Shit, Benny. I'm sorry to hear that. We'll fix it, of course, free of charge." I reach for the garage calendar on the desk. The old paper calendar has red lines all over it. Cancellations. Shit. Judge had said nothing when he was in the office this morning, and with how busy my morning was, I hadn't checked in. I flip to next week. More red lines. What the fuck has been happening today? "Looks like I can get you first thing tomorrow if that works for you." A pregnant pause echoes silently through the receiver before Benny audibly sighs.
That's the thing, V. It won't be.
It's nothing against you or the club, but your paint guy does a shit job. I thought the paint on my Mustang was a fluke, but this is twice now. Fuck, I'd forgotten about his Mustang a couple months back. Our paint guy, Ronnie, had just started, and we were just getting the paint shop up and running. Benny's requested powder blue mustard had come out more of a neon, see it from space blue. Ronnie's excuse was that they mislabeled the paint from the previous owner's painter. The beginning of his many excuses. Irritation grinds at me. We should have fired him weeks ago, but Judge didn't want to pull the trigger until we'd found a replacement, a process he didn't get started until earlier this week. Fucking figures.
"I'd hate to lose your business, Benny.
Are you sure we can't fix it up for you?" The twinges of annoyance and anger at yet another hit to the business coil in my belly like a snake about to strike. Benny was a good guy. He spent a shit ton of money with us when he could have gotten the work done cheaper elsewhere. Losing him would be a hit to our bottom line, one we couldn't afford to take so soon after opening. If he's still there, not a chance. Benny pauses before sighing.
I mentioned his name around the show last weekend, and dude's got a terrible reputation for shit like this. "That so?" I mutter, trying my fucking hardest to tamp down my anger in my voice. I told Judge not to hire this guy until I could call around, but we'd been desperate to fill the spot. That desperation is now costing us time and money. "I'm not one to tell anyone, least of all your club, how to run its business, but as long as he's there, I won't be back. I'll take the refund on the paint job, though." "Of course," I say with a sigh. "I'll have a check mailed to your house first thing in the morning." The coiling anger inside me swells. I knew this would fucking happen. I tried to tell Judge we needed to hire quality people up front, but it didn't work out that way.
"I hate to do this, V. You do damn good work, but I can't risk some of my classics with that guy."
"I understand, and I appreciate your feedback. I'll definitely be sharing it with Judge," I growl. Benny apologizes again before hanging up. The second the call disconnects, my rage breaks free. My fist contacts the desk the second I toss the receiver, the coiling rage no longer able to stay inside of me. My forgotten lunch slides off the edge of the desk and lands with a plop on the floor. "God damn it, Ronnie," I growl. I shove away from the desk and head for the garage bays. The paint bay is at the far end of the building. A couple of our civilian mechanics spot me and grimace as I pass by them. One of the guys, Billy, sighs in relief as I pass him, clearly not happy to be the target of my ire today. With long strides, I stalk toward the paint bay and find my target with his feet propped up on the desk, a sandwich half out of his mouth, and his cell phone in hand with some fucking video playing on it. He stiffens when he sees me, tossing his phone onto the workstation like I didn't fucking see or hear it land. "Hey, V," he says, a nervous smile spreading on his lips. "Ronnie, you have got to be fucking kidding me," I roar. "I just got off the phone with Benny, and guess what he just told me?
He likes the paint job I did?"
Ronnie shrugs with a smile. All I want to do is smack that smile right off his face. "The opposite, actually. The paint job is bubbling, asshole. What the hell did you do?" My fists curl at my sides. "Don't hit the motherfucker, V. He's not worth the assault charge." Ronnie swings his feet off the desk in one move, planting them on the floor.
"I did what he asked. I painted it."
"The hell you did. It's a 4-day-old paint job, Ronnie. I'm going to ask you again. What did you do?"
"I didn't do shit," he seethes,
his nerves seeming to disappear as he steps closer to me. Ronnie comes to a stop a few steps away, his chest puffed out like he's itching to take this fight one step further, a fight that would be entirely one-sided. Ronnie is lean and at least 6 inches shorter than my 6'5". Not short for a man, but compared to me, he looks like a little kid running his mouth to someone who could beat him into next week with one blow.
"It's not my fault your shop ordered shitty paint."
"Shitty paint?" I blow my stack, unable to tamp down the anger any longer. "You're blaming the paint."
"I am,"
he doubles down, his arms crossing his chest.
"Shitty paint equals shit paint jobs. This ain't on me, pal."
"Let me get this straight, Ronnie. The issue, which never happened until you joined our garage, is on the paint. Is that what you're trying to tell me?"
"It is," he nods. "I'm damn good at my job, and I don't like what you're insinuating, V. I could work in better shops and make a shit ton more money than this trash heap."
"Then why don't you, Ronnie? I'm done. I'm done with the excuses. I'm done with your costing this shop thousands of dollars and losing our clients left and right because you can't mix fucking paint."
"You can't fire me," he seethes. "No pissant errand boy on a power trip gonna fire me. This ain't your garage. You may think you own the place, but I know good and well whose name is on the deed. It ain't yours."
"Listen here, asshole," I say, but I'm interrupted by a set of heavy footfalls thunder from behind me. I don't turn around because there's only one guy in our club that walks like that. "It would be my name," Judge growls from behind me before stepping next to me. "Problem, V?" Ronnie's face blanches and his mouth snaps shut. Yeah, that's what I thought. All talk, no fucking spine. "Ronnie's paint job just cost us Benny's business," I inform him flatly. "That's so." "According to Ronnie, it's our paint that's the issue," Judge sighs beside me. "The top-of-the-line paint that you insisted we buy, Ronnie? That's the problem."
"Look, Judge,"
he stumbles over his words, but Judge brings his hand up to stop him. "You're fired, Ronnie."
"But Judge, I," he stutters again, "I need this job."
"Thought you said you had other garages throwing you job offers and more money," I fire back.
"Isn't that what you said?"
Ronnie's mouth falls open for a second, but then snaps shut, defeat washing over his face. There's nothing he can do or say to change his fate.
We wanted him out. Would not employing a competent painter hurt us? Sure, but our books were evidence enough that he would only cost us more business. Get out, Judge growls. Back your shit and get the hell out of my garage. Ronnie's shoulders slump in defeat. We'd given him enough chances, and he'd finally hung himself on his own rope. Don't bother waiting around for a paycheck. You've cost me enough money. Ronnie turns to his workstation, retrieving his phone, then shoves his way between Judge and I and exits the garage. We both watch silently until he pulls out of the parking lot. Guess we need to step up the search for a new painter, I mumble, my eyes still trained on the spot where Ronnie's truck had been parked. I'll make some calls, Judge sighs, before he stalks away. Chapter 2. Burnt.
Dude, where the fuck are you taking me? I ask, staring up at the abandoned warehouse. If you wanted to take me out somewhere to kill me, man, you could at least have sprung for something better than burgers and fries first.
Shut up, V growls. It's just through here.
What's through here? I ask, following along behind him. A tetanus shot? The entire place looks like it's about to cave in. The roof has holes big enough for a Buick to fall through them.
You're making me regret bringing you along.
Well, when you promised me a night of fucking debauchery, I didn't think it would be this.
I waved to the building in front of me.
Seriously, is this your idea of fun? You need to find a new hobby.
V glares back at me from over his shoulder. Just follow me.
To my death, I mutter under my breath. We keep on walking until we come to a cellar door at the far end of the building. V leans down, knocking four times, then stands back. Is this when the serial killer in a clown mask comes out asking if I float?
Stay out there then, asshole. But I'm going in there to see what his place is all about.
Tetanus! That's what's in there! A few minutes go by before a heavy metal clang comes from the other side of the cellar door. It swings wide, revealing a woman wearing nothing but a scrap of gauzy sheer fabric.
Password?
She asks, crossing her tattooed arms over the perkiest set of tits I've seen in a while.
Blueberry pancakes, V replies.
The sexy as hell woman licks her lips and grins, stepping aside to let us enter.
Welcome to Vanilla Villa. Follow me, please.
V shoots me a warning look over his shoulder before following the woman down the stairs. The metal cellar door slams behind us, and my senses blur from the sudden lack of light, but the deeper we go, the more my heart races.
You sure about this place? I whisper to V. Even in a whisper, the sound of my voice echoes off the walls.
Jesus, man, say it a little louder, he growls.
The clacking of heels of the woman come to a stop, and I almost smack right into V's back. I hear the party before I see it, the thumping bass of music slipping through the crack of the door behind her. The woman knocks on something I can't see, and the door opens, light filling the space, revealing the crowd inside. Holy fucking shit, I breathe, my eyes wide. This is definitely not Grandma's cellar. The entire place is filled to the brim with people. Some are dancing, some are talking, some are fucking in plain view of everyone else. Something brushes past my head, and I crane my neck only to find women suspended from the ceiling on wires with ball gags in their mouth.
Told you, V throws back at me.
Dude, this is like fucking adult Disneyland. I grab his shoulder, shaking the fucking shit out of it. Remind me not to doubt you the next time you tell me to just follow you.
This is just the first room. Come on, he beckons. The good shit is in the back.
How the fuck did you find out about this place?
One of Liam's guys, he says over the music.
V had had a shit day at the shop, and when he'd come back to the clubhouse, I knew he was looking to blow off a little steam. The invite along to this fucking piece of paradise just was a bonus for me.
Apparently the Vanilla Villa travels all around the country. It's in Austin for the next couple of weeks.
Cloak and dagger shit, huh? I pause. We weave through the crowd, only stopping when two women slide between us. Their tits are covered in cum. Clearly they'd already had some fun tonight. Shit, who knows how many rounds these women had gone through already. They looked as if the circle jerk party had started at their house. Getting my dick wet is why I came along. Catching something isn't.
Hey, handsome, you wanna play?
Cum Tits asks, her voice sultry and flirty.
You look like you know how to fuck.
V grins as her friend presses against him, whispering in his ear. I side-eye V with a slight shrug of my shoulders. He shakes his head no and whispers something to the girl plastered to him, and she grabs her friend and stalks away back into the crowd. The fuck did you tell them?
You don't wanna know. Liam's guy warned me. If they have a red bracelet on, they're looking to peg. You don't strike me as a guy who likes something being shoved up his ass.
Jesus, what is this place?
You'd be correct. Come on. There's some private rooms towards the back. More our speed, I think.
We weave through more sweaty bodies before coming to a halt where two guards stand with a velvet rope spanning the space between them. The big guy stares at us, his face void of all expression.
V slips his hand into his back pocket and pulls out a black card, handing it to him. The guy nods, unclipping the rope between them and allowing us to pass.
Remind me to thank Liam's buddy the next time he's in town, I murmur under my breath.
V's need to blow off a little steam is warranted, but it had been a hot fucking minute since I'd gotten my dick wet. The club whores didn't want a prospect like me, and with the shit I had to do for the club, it left little downtime. I need this just as much as V did. Jerking off is getting a little old.
A row of rooms line the hallway behind the rope. Every single door is wide open, revealing couples and groups of people fucking loudly inside. The sound of slapping bodies and moans filling the hallway as we pass.
V moves on ahead of me, but one open door in particular catches my eye. I skid to a stop, grabbing V by the shoulder to halt his forward pursuit.
The fuck? He groans, but his protests stop when he notices what caught my eye.
Inside this room, a woman sits in a high-backed leather chair. A black leather mask, her long, dark hair cascading down her narrow shoulders and falling just short of her bountiful tits, hides her face. She sits in that chair like a fucking queen on a throne. Her naked body is on display for any who pass. I lick my lips as I take her in. Tattoos cover nearly every inch of her skin, swirls of colors and designs flowing seamlessly together. A dragon on her abdomen circles her round hips and onto her thighs. She's a fucking goddess, ready for someone to worship her, and I'd bow down just to get a taste of her.
Hello there, she says, her sultry voice beckoning to me like a siren song.
Hello, beautiful, V replies, stepping into the doorway. All alone?
Seems that way, she sighs. Never seen you two around before.
Ah, she's a regular, it appears. With the confidence that oozes from her, it's not surprising.
First time?
V leans up against the doorframe, crossing his tattooed arms against his chest. Might be.
What about your friend?
She asks. Her eyes are barely visible under her black mask, but I can feel them on me, the heat of her gaze going straight to my fucking cock. First timer.
Well, why don't you two join me? I'll give you a proper welcome to the Vanilla Villa.
She uncrosses her legs, baring her bald pussy.
No one has piqued my interest tonight, but I think the two of you will serve me well.
V looks at me, his eyes narrowed with uncertainty. We've never shared a woman at the same time. Sure, most of the unattached guys had shared the girls at the club, but this is different. I'm a territorial bastard. Sharing has never been my greatest virtue. Didn't come all this way to not enjoy ourselves, V says, raising a brow. Fuck it, I growl. Let's do this. I shove past him, my shoulder brushing V's as I move. I can't take my eyes off her. Her red-painted lips twist into a smile, and I feel that smile in my gut. Fucking hell! As I approach her chair, her hand comes up.
Take your shirts off,
she says, sitting up a little taller.
And both of you get on your knees.
Never in my life have I had a woman instruct me for sex, but there's something about the lilt of her voice and the commanding confidence in the way she takes us in that has me scrambling to obey. As my shirt hits the floor, I drop to my knees before her, and V does the same, his half-naked body next to mine, his eyes also trained only on the vixen in the chair. Her eyes flicker with desire from behind her mask as she takes us in.
Have either of you ever shared a woman?
I swallow, my gaze frozen on her as I shake my head. V shakes his head as well.
I wonder,
she says, putting one knee over the arm of her chair.
Do you touch each other?
Fuck no, V growls as I shake my head, entranced by the glimpse of her pussy before me. The woman grins.
Okay then, no touching anyone but me.
She moves, placing her other leg over the opposite arm of the chair, her legs now spread before us like an offering.
You,
she says, pointing her finger at V.
Do you like my pussy?
V growls. Fuck yes. She nods, her hand coming down until her finger is circling a pretty pink clit.
What about you, handsome?
She asks, her eyes now focused on me. It's fucking perfect, I tell her, my voice unrecognizable as I try to calm my breathing.
I want to do so many wicked things to her and her perfect pussy, and I'm not sure I can wait. Before I can stop myself, I lunge forward, my tongue aiming for her center, desperate for a taste. Just as I get close, though, her hand comes out, stopping my forehead as I descend on her.
No, she says, her voice husky but firm. That's bad. Very bad.
I sit back on my heels, confused and ashamed, not liking her stern words directed at me.
Bad boys don't get treats, she frowns. Only good boys get treats.
Her eyes swing to V.
Are you a good boy?
V nods quickly, his tongue darting out as he licks his lips.
You are, aren't you?
She crooks her finger at him, motioning for him to come even closer.
You want to kiss my pussy, good boy?
The arousal in the room is thick and hot, and V's body is trembling next to mine. Fuck yes, he growls.
Come kiss it then, good boy. Show your friend how a good boy eats my pussy.
V dives forward, and my cock strains against the zipper of my jeans as I watch his tongue drag along the glistening space between her legs, dragging and circling and lapping up her arousal. The woman's head falls back, and her lips part, but her eyes stay trained on me as she moans.
Yes, she hisses. That's a very good boy. You like eating my pussy?
V mutters an unintelligible affirmation as he continues to devour her, his head buried in the very place I'm aching to be.
Take out your cock, naughty boy,
she orders, her hand coming down to press V's face into her, her hips rolling as her cheeks grow pink. Reaching down, I watch the pair before me as I undo my belt buckle and release the button on my jeans. My cock is so hard it hurts.
That looks sore,
she says, her voice barely a whisper as V's mouth works her clit.
Do you want me to kiss it for you?
I can only nod, my throat too thick with the need to utter a sound.
Come, bring it to my lips, baby. I want to kiss that swollen cock better for you.
I stand then, lowering my jeans as I go. I kick them across the room and move toward her. The chair has her at the perfect level, her face at just the right height to take my cock. Both of her hands are on V's head, her fingers tangled in his hair.
Put that cock to my lips, baby.
I'm not about to argue, so I take my cock in my hand, and from beside the chair, I lean forward and press the tip of my cock to her swollen lips. She doesn't part them. She simply presses one kiss to the tip, and then another, and another.
Does that feel good, handsome?
I nod, not trusting my voice to speak. She grins and her tongue darts out and traces a line along the underside of my cock. I watch, frozen, as her eyes fall closed and she runs her tongue back to the tip.
What do you want me to do to you, baby?
She asks. Suck it, I breathe. When her lips part, she takes the tip of my cock into her mouth and it takes everything in me to hold it together. If you'd have asked me half an hour ago if I would ever come from a 5-second blowjob, I'd have laughed in your face. But this blowjob just happened to be from a masked woman getting her pussy devoured by V, and it was the most erotic thing I'd ever seen. With her hand still in V's hair, she pulls his head back and says,
No more. You watch me suck this cock, baby. And as you do, I want you to touch yourself and pretend it's your cock I'm sucking.
I hear his belt buckle, but I don't dare look away from the vixen before me. Instead, I watch, entranced, as her red-painted lips wrap around my dick, and she takes it deep, the tip hitting the back of her throat. Her mouth is magic, her tongue finding every nerve ending I have, sending shivers down my spine. Fuck, V mutters from beside me, still on his knees between her legs. Jesus Christ! Why is the prospect watching me get my cock devoured so fucking hot? My knees are about to buckle when she releases me, and when she stands, my head is spinning. There are people at the door, but I'm too focused on what is happening inside the room to pay attention to the ones watching. Let them watch. This isn't about them, but I would bet my life that they wish it was.
Lay down,
she tells V, motioning to a flat table to our left. V stands without hesitation and does as instructed. For the first time, I find myself naked and aroused with another man in the room, and I can't bring myself to care. It's not just any man. It's V, and we're in this scenario together. For some reason, I couldn't imagine it any other way. This is right. This is the way it should be. This is fate. As V lays down on the table, we both watch the woman as she walks towards him, grabbing my hand and pulling me along as she moves. Her hips are full and round, swaying with each step like a dancer.
I'm gonna fuck your friend,
she says, turning to gaze up at me.
And when I do, you keep your eyes on me the whole time. Do not look away. Do you understand?
I swallow and nod, captivated by her spell. She leans down then and presses her lips to V's, capturing them in a kiss. Her hand trails along his naked torso, skimming over his cock and back up again. Jealousy and need bubble low in my gut, but I don't move. I do exactly as she told me, and I watch. When she pulls away, she looks back over her shoulder, her mask doing nothing to hide the heat in her eyes. A sultry smile forms on her lips as she climbs up onto the table, first one knee and then the other. Then she settles herself astride V.
Do you like your friend watching?
She asks him, her attention now on him. V nods, his hands coming up to her hips, but she pushes them down.
No touching.
Her gaze comes to mine.
Do you want to watch me fuck your friend?
Yes, I managed to get out of the thick desire in my throat. I do want to watch that. I can't explain it, but I want to watch her fuck V almost as badly as I want it to be me she's fucking. She positions V's cock between her legs and slowly she lowers herself down on top of him. V's groan joins mine as she buries him inside of her, taking his length entirely. Fucking hell! Her lips part and a tiny gasp escapes past them as she begins to move.
You feel so good inside me,
she breathes, her hips rocking back and forth.
Does my pussy feel good?
Yes, V gasps. His hands are curled into fists at his side, and I know he's as desperate as I am to touch her. Her eyes slide to mine.
Do you want to be inside me too, handsome?
Fucking hell, my cock is throbbing. I can only nod.
Come up here,
she says, nodding behind her.
On your knees and get between his feet.
I frown, my gaze dropping to V's, who looks just as unsure as I feel. The siren chuckles, her hips swaying as she fucks him.
I promise,
she puffs out between thrusts.
You won't have to touch him at all.
Glancing down at V one last time, I take his nod as approval, and before I can think too much on what she's asking, I too climb up onto that table, positioning myself on my knees behind her. V's feet are spread apart, providing a space just big enough for me to fit. Her head turns, and her eyes flash with wicked excitement as she grins and says,
You take me from behind.
I'm dead, dead and gone to heaven. This dream woman has single-handedly broken me down to an obedient slave, and as she fucks another man, her ass comes toward me until the tip of my cock hits the ring of the tight muscle there. I lean back as far as I can, watching as her pussy takes V, and her ass slowly swallows my shaft in a grip so tight I know I'm not gonna last long. A satisfied smile takes over her face, and she drops her head back, resting it on my shoulder. Her long red fingernails dig into V's belly, and that's when she blows both of our minds. Chapter 3, V. Had you asked me before yesterday if I'd had considered sharing a woman with my prospect, I would have said you were fucking insane. This morning, I would result in a different answer entirely. Our night with the raven-haired beauty was the stuff you only hear of in magazines like Hustler, or from TK before he met Cora and went on the straight and narrow. That motherfucker would have walked out of the vanilla villa with his cock still swinging and singing Broadway style for the entire world to know. He wouldn't be awkwardly sitting in our morning church meeting, avoiding eye contact with my damn prospect. My thoughts drift to the woman we shared last night. Fuck. I've always been in charge of the fucking department with my past partners. Leading is second nature to me, just like fixing cars. Yet for her, I had surrendered my control. My cock throbs uncomfortably in my jeans the longer I think about the way her body writhed as she rode me, the way her eyes, despite being hidden by that mask, bore down deep inside of me with each shift of her hips. She had held all the cards last night. There had been something primal in letting her lead and fighting my own instincts to take charge. I like control, but giving it up, I've never done that before. Oddly, it was soothing. Soothing and awkward knowing that moment was shared with the guy I'm supposed to be mentoring for the club. Some mentor I am. You hear me, V? Judge asks, snapping my attention away from replay in my head. The fuck you do last night that has you drifting off into space? Burnt's gaze snaps to mine before dropping back to his clasped hands on the top of the table. GP, who sits next to me, doesn't miss it. He side-eyes me with a grin on his face.
Way to keep it subtle, asshole. Sorry, Judge, had a long night, I admit. Can you repeat what you said?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?